Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see here. I think our great engineer came in yesterday, dusted off some of the equipment in here, dusted off some of the buttons, and hopefully the microphones are even better than they were yesterday later on in the 9 o'clock hour. Big thanks to Andy. We are working on getting a new phone system as well. I know some of you said, hey, I was hearing an echo. It was a little staticky. Don't worry. We're working on getting a new system put in place there. So it just takes a little bit of time. Sometimes it feels like the federal government. You got to wait on, we got to get this and then we got to get that. But it's coming. Don't you worry. But that's all right. We'll still hear you. You still get to hear the show. Give us a call, 294-0970. Man, there is a lot of ground to cover this morning. I was just going in. I was taking some screenshots of some of the things that I've been tweeting out on X over the past 24 hours or so. Earlier this week, I talked about Butte, about Montana, about copper, and about President Donald J. Trump's post on Truth Social talking about copper and what he's going to do to boost American copper and stop the dumping of foreign copper into America. And so but as I was doing that story, I thought, I did a write-up for our Montana Talks website. I thought, you know what? I need to reach out to my friend Evan Wilson. Mr. Numbers, I'll call him sometimes. This guy is, man, he's a prominent pollster. He's a Billings senior high grad. His dad is the late Dr. Craig Wilson, who was a longtime pollster and political science professor at MSU Billings in Eastern Montana College before they called it that. And so anyway, just a great guy. He's the guy who after the June primary last year told me, looking at the numbers, he's like, there's no way John Tester will survive in November. There's no way he can overcome these numbers. And he was looking specifically at Great Falls and comparing 2024 primary to even just the 2006 primary. And so anyway, that's Mr. Numbers Man himself. So I said, hey, Evan, I'm doing a story about Butte and about copper and about Donald J. Trump. You know, and of course, Butte's a longtime Democrat stronghold. You know, Irish Catholic Union town, you know, by and large, some of the most conservative people you ever meet. But for some reason, they're still voting for the Democrat Party, even though the Democrat Party has totally abandoned all the groups that I just mentioned above, right? Mining, everything. But I said, hey, how did President Trump do in the last election compared to previous elections, previous Republican candidates in Butte Silver Bow? He told me this. Trump's showing in Butte last November was the best Republican performance by a presidential candidate since 1956 and Dwight Eisenhower, 68 years. Best performance in 68 years by a Republican presidential candidate in Butte Silver Bow. And I've got the specific numbers looking at 2016, looking at 2020. Basically, Donald Trump in 2024 cut the Democrats' advantage in half from what their margin of victory was in 2016 and in 2020. So anyway, check it out, MontanaTalks.com. Lots to get to back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. West Saturday to partly cloudy skies for today. High temperatures will range from near 50 over in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies. Lows are in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. And then on Friday, the outlook calls for more sunshine and highs around 50 in Bozeman, back in the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
A House Armed Services Committee hearing Wednesday examined the defense industrial base and its ability to meet the demands of the military. Hearing chairman, Republican Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama, says we cannot prevail in conflict without a strong industrial base. But, he says, there is a big problem.
Over the last 30 years, we have watched the industrial base atrophy.
Washington Democrat Adam Smith says we also have to approach the subject with a more realistic viewpoint.
How do we manage the challenges that we face instead of imagining that we're somehow going to be dominant in the world and be able to deter everybody?
However, former Deputy Secretary of Defense and President of the National Defense Industrial Association, David Norquist, testified there is good news.
Our nation has a defense sector that is innovative and dynamic. What is required is to shape the conditions that will allow it to perform in the way we want.
Kip Muretsky, Fox News.
Earlier this week, we had Montana Governor Greg Gianforte on the show, and thankfully, the topic of the Keystone XL pipeline happened to come up. The governor told us about some of the conversations he's been having with the Trump administration, and then later that same day, Donald J. Trump himself weighed in on the Keystone XL pipeline. You can see the tweet, the post on True Social from Donald J. Trump, plus full audio of our chat with the governor. Go to MontanaTalks.com or get it on the app. The Montana GOP calls out the nine Republicans voting with the Democrats. Check out the full statement and much more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Totally normal stuff. Just totally normal stuff. I picked up on the sarcasm here from Jeremy Carl on X, a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman. We were sharing his post earlier this week about all the non-English speaking students in the Bozeman public schools. Crazy. There's like 552, if I remember right. But anyway, he sent out a post by Chris Rufo. Chris Rufo is with the Manhattan Institute and he's one of the main people that has exposed this radical transgender craziness, right, and this agenda, especially targeting kids. Have you guys heard about the NSA and what the... apparently the NSA, that likes to listen in on your conversations, the National Security Agency, well, apparently somebody was listening in on their little chat room conversations, and this was some nasty stuff. I had some audio I could have played for you earlier in the week, and I'm like, man, even John Jackson might clutch his pearls over this one. It was just some nasty stuff. Anyway, Chris Rufo, at Real Chris Rufo on X, The NSA whistleblower, the National Security Agency whistleblower, so tells me there is a clique of male to female transgender Marxists who have established a cult inside the agency. Quote, they hate capitalism, they hate Christians, they're always espousing Marxist beliefs. It infected everything. And so he shared this story, this column he wrote about the transgender cult inside the NSA, the National Security Agency. And now I think Jeremy Carl was being sarcastic when he said, yeah, totally normal stuff. But in reality, under the last 4 years of the Biden regime, this is totally normal stuff. And anyway, the chats, like, I'm telling you, Jesse Waters featured some of this stuff on his program. I mean, I was like, you know what? We probably better not play that for our radio audit. It is just that nasty, sick, twisted type of stuff that these men were messaging back and forth to each other. Tom Cotton was on Fox News yesterday. He's a Arkansas senator, fellow combat veteran as well.
Your thoughts on this lewd and licentious chat room that was going on among officials, more than 100 of them getting fired.
Well, John, my first thought, if material is so inappropriate that not even Lucas Tomlinson will repeat it, you know it must be bad.
Exactly.
Obviously, this should not be happening on government computer systems or time, much less in classified intelligence systems. I've had a chance to speak with Director Gabbard yesterday. I know that she's committed to holding accountable anyone who's engaged in this kind of misconduct. With such misconduct and such egregiously bad judgment, I don't think we'd want someone anywhere near classified information. She's also committed to getting to the bottom of why this was tolerated for apparently more than 2 years during the Biden administration. Look, these systems are designed for intelligence officers across a number of agencies to share information, let's say if they're collaborating on the nuclear program that Iran has. They're not designed for your own personal use, and certainly not this kind of wildly inappropriate use.
So, give us some insight here. What gives rise to behavior like this at what is supposed to be a very, very serious set of institutions?
Well, it's hard to imagine, John, why anyone in the intelligence community would think they could get away with this kind of misconduct, again, on a classified intelligence network that is designed for intelligence officers to collaborate on professional matters for work.
Now, on top of this, as we told you earlier in the week, CNN was reporting that there are folks inside of our intelligence agencies who are threatening to sell state secrets. Tulsi Gabbard was on with Jesse Waters earlier this week. She's now the director of national intelligence. There were reports from CNN that CIA employees, if they lose their jobs under President Trump, that they say they are going to retaliate by selling secrets to our enemies. And Tulsi Gabbard responded by saying, quote, they're exposing themselves. Their loyalty is not at all to America. These are exactly the people we need to root out. This whole NSA lewd chat room and not that these people just had weird, you know, all sorts of stuff talking about getting their you-know-what zapped off. I mean, put that aside for a moment. But these people hate American free enterprise. These people hate Christians. These people hate everything this country is about and has stood for. Why are they in the most sensitive positions in our government? I think you and I all know why. And, you know, when he was asked there by John Roberts, well, why was this tolerated for 2 years? Tolerated? John Tester and Joe Biden and the Democrats were promoting this type of behavior for the last 4 years. It wasn't just that they were tolerating this anti-American, radical transgender agenda insanity. They were promoting it. They were encouraging it. Remember Rachel Levine, the man who put on a female-looking military outfit and got the title of admiral. Remember Lipstick Lex Luthor? In fact, hearing the news that Gene Hackman passed away, Lipstick Lex Luthor, the guy that would always wear women's dresses. He was stealing women's, you know, underwear from airport luggage carousels. He had the bald head and the creepy mustache and then the bright red lipstick. Those were the people that were being not just tolerated by the Bidens, promoted into the most senior positions in our government and given access to our nation's secrets. By the hundreds inside the NSA alone. Absolutely crazy.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality has been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women aged 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. You'll likely need a universal translator to decipher the fiscal discourse emanating from Capitol Hill. You'll hear a lot about budget reconciliation. Congressional Republicans intend to enact President Trump's core agenda of cutting taxes and reducing federal spending. In the Senate, Republicans have 53 votes, but that's not enough to crack a filibuster on a bill. The bar is 60. However, there's a way to overcome that obstacle. Use a special process called budget reconciliation to bypass a filibuster and approve the bill. Budget reconciliation isn't a trick or scheme. It's a time-honored parliamentary method used by both parties to enact their agenda when they can't vault the filibuster. The issue is that you have to have a budget in place in order to use reconciliation in the Senate, and the House and Senate must approve the same budget vehicle for reconciliation. The House is trying to approve its own plan soon, but not the same package as the Senate. And if they don't align, the GOP can't use budget reconciliation to avoid a filibuster. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, this week, the House GOP kept enough Republicans in line to advance a budget plan that's aimed at passing all of President Trump's spending and tax priorities in one giant package. However, the House and Senate GOP are still miles apart on both strategy and details, and they'll have to agree on a plan before they move forward with the reconciliation package that'll be necessary to actually enact spending increases and decreases and to extend those expiring tax cuts. The House resolution, which was approved 217 to 215, would authorize at least $1.5 trillion in spending cuts over 10 years and allow for up to $4.5 trillion in tax cuts over that same period, all in one sweeping reconciliation bill. In a bow to hardline conservatives, the tax cuts would have to be scaled back to $4 trillion if lawmakers don't find at least $2 trillion in spending cuts. Now, the resolution that the Senate passed last Friday is much more modest. It would leave tax cuts to later legislation and would require just $5 billion in cuts, although that number is just considered a starting point. The main thrust, though, of the Senate resolution is to increase spending for the military and border security. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Hi, this is Chandler Gould, National Association of Wheat Growers CEO. The 2025 Commodity Classic is headed to Denver, Colorado in March, and I'd like to personally invite you to join fellow wheat growers for America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agriculture and education experience. Not to mention, it's the closest it's ever been to your farm, making it even easier for you to attend. Informative speakers on timely topics, cutting-edge ag technology in the industry's largest trade show, and more. Visit CommodityClassic.com today.
Come join us at the Stevenson Angus Spring Production Sale on Sunday, March 2nd. 325 Angus sale, including 100 two-year-olds and 110 yearling bulls. Age advantaged and pap tested, these bulls are designed to improve performance, carcass, and maternal function. Also offering 115 females, including April calving cows and yearling heifers. The sale will be at the White Sulphur Springs Ranch and broadcast live for remote buyers. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at StevensonAngus.com.
Well, according to the American Sheep Industry Association, the Colorado Secretary of State's title board has approved language for a proposed ballot measure that would ask voters in 2026 to end the reintroduction of gray wolves by the end of that year. Of course, voters approved Proposition 114 in November of 2020. Last month, the state estimated there are 29 gray wolves now in Colorado. And livestock depredation claims also continue to increase. And finally this morning, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, along with several of his Western Senate colleagues, have reintroduced the Protect the West Act, a $60 billion initiative aimed at reducing wildfire risks, restoring watersheds, and protecting our communities across the American West. More specifically, the bill proposes significant funding for forest restoration, fire mitigation, and drought resilience. It allocates $20 billion directly to state and local governments and tribes for local projects, and also invests $40 billion to tackle the backlog of restoration and mitigation work across public and private lands. And finally, the bill also aims to create over 2 million jobs, primarily in rural areas. The Protect the West Act has garnered support from major environmental groups, industry leaders, tribal organizations, and many more. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's sneak this one in here. What about the price of eggs? What are they going to do? You know, how many chickens did Joe Biden kill? Somebody sent me a message the other day. I didn't get a chance to verify it, but, you know, you guys are usually always right. Every now and then you get something that, better double check that one. Well, we double check everything. But anyway, somebody sent me a message. They said that eggs in Mexico were cheaper than eggs in the United States. And they were traveling down there and said, hey, how come your eggs are cheaper than our eggs up there? And they said, because our president didn't kill all the chickens. So, you know, they killed all the chickens to try to stop the spread of the bird flu, and still the bird flu spread, and then they tried to rebuild the chickens, and then those chickens got it anyway. So that's kind of the situation we're in. By the way, did you see that report? Our friend Michael Foth actually shared this on the Montana Talks website. There were several birds found dead, I believe, on the Bighorn River. Between, you know, Hardin and Fort Smith. And so if I got the area right, I know it was on the Bighorn River, but I can't remember if it was south or north of Hardin. I'm pretty sure it was south. But anyway, they said that was avian flu, that was also bird flu. It was the reason why there were several birds found dead along the Bighorn River. So there's a Montana connection for you here. But USDA Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins was on Fox News. And here's what she had to say about egg prices and what they're doing.
This shows the price of eggs over the last 40 years. And as you can see, the price was pretty static for 40 years, 50 years, actually. And then all of a sudden under Obama, it went up a little bit. Trump went down. And then Biden, it has skyrocketed. I want to provide context before we talk about the plan. Because, listen, avian flu has been catastrophic for our poultry, our egg farmers. But at the end of the day, policy matters. So the egg prices we're seeing now was a long roll of overregulation, too many rules, too much government. So that's part of this plan as well. But as we're talking about avian flu and as it hits every single American family and every single household in this country, just this morning in front of about 500 people at the Ag Commissioners Conference here in Washington, D.C., we talked about five prongs. And I'll talk about it again probably in the cabinet meeting in just a second. First, we're going to invest from USDA a significant amount of funds into biosecurity. That means the spread of the virus only happens through wild fowl for the most part. So what can we do at USDA to help our farmers ensure that that doesn't happen? We've had 150 pilot projects. Only one of those has gotten the avian flu. So now we put that on steroids and spread it out to America. Second, we go through some significant repopulation, ensuring that the farmers that had to depopulate, which is what Kevin Hassett was just talking about, that they have what they need to immediately repopulate, immediately start getting the hens laying again, etc. Third is the deregulation we just talked about. The egg industry is overregulated. They have too many rules on the books. And so while we will always focus on safety, we're also going to look at the Biden and Obama eras of putting more and more government on them.
All right. Yeah. Just another Biden mess that Team Trump has to come in and clean up here. I wonder if John Jackson is scheduling a special trip back to Washington, D.C. to help those USAID folks clean out their offices. Hey, I've got some boxes here. You guys, I can see John doing that. Hey, I'm just here to help. I'm just here to help. If you guys need help packing up your Adam Schiff, just here to help. All right, back to the story. So I was telling you how, yeah, there were dead birds found on the Bighorn River here in Montana. Here's the story that we had on our Montana Talks website a couple of days ago. It's still there now, of course. You just got to scroll down to find it. Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 5 office shared information regarding reports of sick and dead waterfowl being found on a portion of the Bighorn River near Hardin. According to the agency's Facebook post, they've received numerous calls about the situation with sick or dead birds being found between the After Bay fishing access site to the I-90 bridge just outside of Hardin. Dubbed a mortality event by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the die-off is believed to be caused by highly pathogenic avian influenza, a.k.a. bird flu. Carcass samples were submitted for testing, and the agency expects to have the results back in a few days. As you heard Brooke Rollins talk about there and what they're trying to do to help clean up this mess, Part of what she said, if I heard her right there, was that is that this actually spreads more through, you know, the wildlife, and then that's how it gets into our, you know, the agricultural sector in terms of the chickens with the eggs, et cetera, like that. So there you go. Let's see. Let's sneak in a quick caller here. We've got Thad in Park City. Thad, what's your thoughts?
You know, there's a few things with these egg prices that people don't realize. I mean, the cost of feed has gone up through the roof. I mean, you look at all of the costs for fertilizer, for the grains, for all the different vitamins and minerals that they put into feeding those barns. I mean, it's all trickle-down effect, you know. And then on top of that, I mean, she was talking about biosecurity earlier. Those barns are so biosecurity conscious. I mean, when it comes to going in and out of those barns. But I think that the cost of eggs isn't just, you know, the lack of birds that are available. I mean, there is some of that that's gone on. We've lost a lot of barns across the United States. You know, if you remember, barns have burnt down. They've lost them to bird flu. The other thing is people want these free-range, quote-unquote, eggs. Well, they put those birds out in free-range. Well, where do you think that the bird flu gets picked up from? I mean,
wow, what
there's
a great
no control
point.
When they,
yeah, what a
you
great
know,
point.
When they go out, you know, they go out into this free-range, and that's where they're being, you know, they're being around other birds that have this disease or this bird flu. So
yeah, free range does not equal biosecurity. Great point. Hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into it. First off, Thad in Park City, what a great phone call. I chatted with him more during the break there. I was like, Thad, you got to call in more often. Man, that was some great insight talking about bird flu, et cetera. Got a message on the Montana Talks app from KC in Bozeman. KC's rubbing it in a little bit here. He says, I just got back from Belize. No bird flu down there. That was from KC and Bozeman. Well, hey, let's jump right into the phone lines here. We've got Montana Congressman Troy Downing with us right now. Congressman, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be here. It's you know, a little crazy getting back into D.C. We've had a pretty productive week, I'll say, but you know, happy to be doing the work.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking with some friends yesterday, and they were saying, hey, so what's the story with this spending bill back in Washington, D.C.? What has the Senate done? What has the House done? Did the Trump tax cuts get made permanent? Would they get made permanent by the bill that just passed? So I figured, hey, who better to break it down than you?
Well, I appreciate it because there's a lot of misconception. Really, this budget resolution is more of a procedural step than anything else, because what we want to do is get a reconciliation bill, and that's it through. And that reconciliation bill, what's special about that is when we have, control of the House and the Senate as we do, we can reconcile to the budget with only a simple majority vote in the Senate rather than requiring 60 votes. So it gives us a tool where we don't need to get a supermajority in the Senate, which is really, really powerful. But to start that process, we need this budget resolution. And so that was procedurally the first part in the process of starting to get all of the campaign promises that we've made, that President Trump has made, making sure we're getting that Trump agenda into this reconciliation bill. And so that work starts now that we passed that budget on, it was Tuesday. So we're really excited about that, although that's going to be the work. And, you know, you were talking about, permanent or not. And, I know that making those permanent, the tax cuts from 2017 from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is incredibly important to a lot of us. If we don't get those renewed, that's a 26% average tax increase to Montanans. It would be devastating, and we'd lose the exemption on estate taxes, the death taxes. So that would be, again, devastating to our, you know, farmers and ranchers that are trying to hand, you know, the family farm down to their heirs. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to go in there. And, you know, rather than having this be a temporary fit, there's a temporary extension. There's a lot of appetite to see what we can do to make it permanent.
Oh, and then what has the Senate done so far? Is big picture what I've seen, because I've been kind of a little more focused on the state legislature here recently, of course, with the quick 90-day session. But it sounds like the Senate, like they want to spend way more money than the House does, which is no surprise there. But thankfully, both of our Montana senators, Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy, voted with an amendment with Rand Paul to try to trim that back even further. But unfortunately, the numbers being what they are, that was unsuccessful. So it does seem like the House Republicans are able to stand together a little more firmly to try to scale it back.
Yeah, and I think that it's good that the Senate is doing what they're doing. And you always want, you know, contingencies in case things don't go how you want. But I'll tell you, the one big beautiful bill that's coming out of the House, that's what Trump has made it clear that he wants. That's what we're working on. I personally think that that's, you know, a better path, so we can get this really important stuff in there, make sure we're dealing with border security, make sure we're dealing with, you know, the tax cuts, making sure we're dealing with the economy, all these things that, you know, we've promised, and really codifying these promises that were made to the American people into this one big bill. And I think there's some folks in the Senate that are still pushing for, you know, a light bill and then a follow-up. You know, my personal thoughts are that what the House is doing is a better path and clearly supported by the president.
I saw you got a chance to meet up with Susie Hedlund, Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction. We caught up with her last week as well, and she is very excited about President Trump's plans and efforts to get the federal Department of Education out of our back pocket and out of our, you know, out of our schools and get more local control and get less federal overreach. So she's excited on that front. What are you seeing, especially with the DOGE efforts right now and how we can leverage that to stop this federal overreach?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a problem that I was constantly fighting in my last office of D.C. trying to put blanket approaches on a rural state that just didn't work. And so I think that Superintendent Hedlund is seeing some, you know, light at the end of the tunnel in getting D.C. out of her backyard, making sure that she can make the decisions that are right to empower, you know, Montana's parents and students and teachers, and make sure that we are in the driver's seat. So I'm really excited about that. But, you know, one of the things, since you mentioned DOGE, I just wanted to point out some stuff that I think is pretty interesting, because we've had a lot of folks reach out to us about Elon Musk and having, you know, concerns about Elon Musk not being elected, which I think is really funny, because in the executive branch of government, there's only one elected, and that's the president. And the president can bring in people at his pleasure to do the things that he needs to do. One single person can't be doing everything. And so everybody's like talking about why is this unelected Elon Musk? And well, who was doing it under Biden, if anybody? Some bureaucrat in the basement nobody's ever heard of that, you know, may or may not have had a security clearance, rather than having somebody working at the pleasure of the president that, you know, has some unique skills and has a security clearance. I think it's just silly that they're banging their drum about that, where, you know, at the end of the day, as the DOGE team and Elon starts to uncover this just ridiculous spending that none of us had any idea was as bad as it is.
Yeah.
Nobody's on the left is screaming about that. They're screaming about the person. But end of the day, as Elon turns the lights on in all of these agencies and we start to see what's going on, you know, really the next part is, you know, if it falls under the purview of the executive branch, then, you know, President Trump deals with that. If it falls under the purview of the legislative branch, then Congress deals with that, and we start to deal with this problem. But it just amazes me how many people are screaming because somebody's turning the lights on.
Yeah. Well, and I know, you know, some of the pushback is, look, we're $2 trillion just in deficit every year. And so they're trying to peel back $1 trillion through DOGE and then hoping Congress can peel back another trillion through congressional efforts and things like that. But, you know, so but obviously, you know, there's some people out there who are wondering, well, hey, what about these federal employee layoffs? Well, look, we've got to trim somehow and somewhere. And we do have a bloated bureaucracy. But I did see one headline where more seasonal workers are being approved. And even the VA is hiring critical positions. They're trimming some of the fat, but they're hiring critical positions. Or one of our listeners who's a firefighter made a great point. He said, you know, some of these, like Forest Service workers, they were seasonal jobs that Biden turned into full-time jobs that maybe are going to go back to seasonal jobs, or maybe that will free up money so we can have full-time firefighters instead of full-time whatevers.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Restructuring is something that you see in, you know, private business all the time. It's the things you see in corporate America all the time. Restructuring to right size, make things correct. And I'm not going to discount those directly affected, you know, losing a job. I don't want to discount that. You know, you don't want to see that. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we are being stewards of the American taxpayer dollars and being very thoughtful on how we restructure, make sure we're spending money as people want us to and expect us to, and not in all this crazy stuff. So I will say it's a little bit uncomfortable going through a restructuring, but we have no choice. This nation was, you know, at the precipice. You know, the Biden administration brought us to the edge of that cliff. We're basically leaning over with our, you know, arms windmilling in the air, and we need to do decisive actions to start pulling back and make sure that we don't go off that cliff, because it's so hard to recover if you're already falling. We need to make sure that we are doing the things that we're doing, uncovering this ridiculous spending, and find it wherever we can. And it's just interesting to me that we've got a number of people very vocal about not wanting to do that, not wanting to turn the lights on, not wanting to understand all the silly things that we're spending money on. And I'm not to say that everything's silly. I mean, there are obviously things that are in our interest, but there's a lot of crazy spending going on right now, and we just need to start pulling that back in this restructuring.
Yeah, and as one of our listeners, Cameron in Billings, pointed out, there's a lot of, you know, politicians and bureaucrats back in Washington that were lining their own pockets with our money, as we're finding out now as well. 30 seconds to go. Congressman, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll definitely get you back for a longer amount of time, sneak in phone calls and more. But what else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, first of all, just that we're working hard. We've got our blueprint for getting our reconciliation bill through and making sure we get as much of President Trump's, you know, campaign promises and what we promised to the American voters into that. You know, another thing that I just want to say, there's been a number of bills that I've introduced, including preventing aliens coming through rivers or land. I've got a Protecting Our Communities from DUIs Act, which deports illegal immigrants who've been caught driving impaired, Sarah's Law that was included in the Lake and Riley Act.
Yeah, that's been happening a lot in the Bozeman area in particular. All right, Congressman Downing, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Under Biden, we found out USAID actually paid for Ukrainian models to attend Fashion Week in Paris. You know, under the Biden administration, USAID paid Ukrainian, Biden family syndicate thoughts, models and designers to go to Paris Fashion Week, you know, and other frivolous, absurd luxuries. Joni Ernst made this revelation earlier today. Ernst revealed USAID did not report the expenditures in public databases, and they tried to block her staff from seeing them, claiming they were classified. And this goes to the corruption aspect of this and the cover-up aspect of this, which I have been saying we are going to find out. It's now inevitable.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With Saturday to partly cloudy skies for today, high temperatures will range from near 50 over in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, lows from the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. And then on Friday, the outlook calls for more sunshine and highs around 50 in Bozeman, back in the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please. So always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please. So always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Charitable contributions or donations can help taxpayers receive some deductions. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
It's time to take the quiz. Five questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Charitable donations are one of the few areas where many people can receive some tax benefits. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
If you itemize your deductions, you can claim your charitable deductions up to 60% of your adjusted gross income.
Charity is one of the few categories where Strauss says you can get an immediate tax break.
Taxes have a $10,000 cap on them, and medical expenses have a floor amount.
Donations $250 or more, you need a copy of the canceled check or credit card receipt and an acknowledgement from the receiving organization. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Caden, I'm not hearing any audio here, so maybe I'll just start yapping. I didn't hear our opening there. I didn't hear the bumper music. Not hearing the legislative report. But if my microphone is working, hey, guys, send me a message on the Montana Talks app if you are hearing us. Yeah, it's are you hearing it in your studio now? Caden says it's playing, but I'm not hearing it in here. So who knows what's happening there? We might have to ask our engineers. But, hey, if you guys can hear me yapping right now, send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. Is the legislative update in the audio folder, Caden? If we can have it in there every day, I can always play it as a backup. I'm not seeing in there. Okay. You didn't get the update? Okay, I sent that to you yesterday. That's all right. All right, we'll figure it out. Semper Gumby. Luckily, David Noble is in the house here early, so we'll just jump right into it. David, good to see you.
Good to see you. That was a good call from Congressman Downing. Is that the first kind of update he's done for you since he's been in D.C.?
He joined me. We did the show from Congressman Zinke's office the day after the inauguration, so he came over and joined us for that. And then what else? We had then he's once or twice since then too.
Good. So, well, I'm glad that he's carrying those bills that he was mentioned there at the end. We've obviously got a need for some federal laws on the books here that will call. Maybe here's something. Let's throw this out to Congressman Downey. Can we get a law passed at the federal level that it says if illegal aliens are caught driving down the wrong direction on the interstate, that they can get sent home too? Because it's like, I agree. You know, if you're convicted of a DUI or a serious crime, you should go home. But let's be honest. I mean, driving down the wrong direction on the interstate is pretty dangerous, and that's becoming an ongoing issue in Bozeman.
I don't care if you simply got busted for not wearing a seatbelt. If you are in this country illegally, right. There should be no other law that really needs to matter. You broke that law. You're out of here.
Right.
And that's what Tom Homan is eventually working towards. But right now they're focusing on the more criminal illegal aliens.
And you have to take that position out of fairness to everybody else. And everybody wants to talk about how unfair it is to the illegal aliens that are here. And it's like, no. The unfairness is actually the unfairness to all of the other people around the world who have been wanting to come here legally, have been following our rules. Think about it. Let's say there's two people in some other country around the world. They both want to come to the United States. One of them thinks to themselves, hey, I'm just going to do it illegally. I'm just going to run across the border. The other thinks to himself, hey, I'm going to do it legally. I'm going to submit an application for a visa or for a whatever kind of immigration card to the United States. So one of them stays behind, stays home, you know, lives in his country where there's not as good of job opportunities, not as good of economic opportunities as there are here. And he stays there and he's with his family. Let's say it's Mexico. Use Mexico for example. The other guy commits the crime, crosses the border illegally, comes here. And then let's just say that guy comes here and he's a good worker. He's a good person. Maybe goes to church on Sundays, works a good job, doesn't commit any other crimes. That person still needs to be deported out of fairness and justice to the person who stayed behind in Mexico and decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do this the right way. Because otherwise, you're rewarding the illegal behavior and you're really punishing that person who stayed behind in Mexico and said, hey, no, I want to do it legally.
What a great message there and a great point from David. Thankfully, people are hearing us. I heard from Tim and Savage. My wife's listening. She says she can hear us as well. So now I'm hearing the music. So we should be good to go here for the next hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.